Ryan.
I'm Walter.
I'm Liam.
I'm Kate.
I'm Thomas.
I'm Violet.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Laura. And hi, this is a chat with Mrs. Burns' third grade. With Mrs. Burns, our essential question is, what is astronomy and why is it important? Today, we are joined with our very special guest, Summer Ash. Thank you, Summer.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
What exactly is astronomy?
So astronomy, the word itself is from the Greeks. So astro means star, and the nomi at the end is actually from nomos. That means like law or culture. So the technical sort of interpretation is it's the law of the stars, but it's really just the study of celestial objects.
How long has astronomy been around?
So that's an interesting question, because I think as sort of a science, it's been around as long as humans have been around, because we've been looking up at the light in the night sky and also at the sun and sort of using it to tell us about, you know, the length of the day and the time of the year. So we've been doing that for, not forever, but, you know, a really, really long time. But I thought you guys might also like to know that as just the practice of observing the night sky and navigating by it, there's actually animals and insects that have been doing that. So I'm sure they've been doing it much longer than any humans. There's a species of beetle that actually uses the Milky Way. It uses the galaxy in our night sky to navigate, which is pretty cool.
Why do people like to study space?
Well, probably a bunch of different reasons. I like to study it because I think it's really cool and it's really exciting. But like I mentioned before, humans, we started studying space by just starting to notice how the stars were moving in the sky and how the sun was moving. And that would tell us, like, when the seasons were changing. And that would also then influence maybe when we wanted to migrate or move to warmer or cooler climates, and if we wanted to plant seeds or then harvest them. So we used space originally like as a calendar. But then as we grew and as science grew, we kind of use it to understand our place in the universe. Because we're here on one little planet, Earth, and we used the night sky and astronomy to figure out that we're one of many planets around a star, and that star is one of many stars in a galaxy, and that galaxy is one of billions of galaxies in the universe. So it kind of tells us more about everything around us. But then there's even more super practical reasons, because astronomers want to make sure we know if there's any asteroids out there that might come and impact Earth, because that might impact humans. We want to study, like, the sun and other stars, because they actually have, they're not actually, like, just a solid ball. They're fluid, essentially, and they're super hot, so they have, like, flares and, like, they eject material, and if that stuff comes towards Earth, that can really mess with our satellites. Like, you know, all the cell phone towers could go down, or all the TV feeds could go down. So we want to study that. And also, we even study other planets, like Mars especially, to see how Mars changed over time, because maybe Earth is going to change that way too. Like, all the water might disappear, or global warming, things like that. Venus actually is a case of super global warming. So we can use other planets to also better understand our own.
Thank you so much. Summer, we forgot to introduce Summer and tell what she does. We said Summer Ash, but just in case people don't know who Summer is an astronomer at the Columbia University Department of Astronomy, among many other things. She's also a writer, and she's an astrophysicist, a guest astrophysicist on the Rachel Maddow Show. So thank you. So sorry we forgot to introduce you.
No, no problem. I like just jumping in and talking about space.
How many planets are there?
Okay, so I have a question back for you. Do you mean in our solar system, or do you mean in our galaxy, or in the whole universe?
Galaxy.
In the galaxy?
Yes.
That is a really good question. So, we have started to find planets around other stars besides our own, but when I was your age, none of that had happened yet. We didn't find our first planet outside the solar system until 1995, just still way before you guys were born, but I was in high school at the time. And we've been finding more and more ever since. And there's actually a website and an app on your phone that can tell you at any given time how many planets we found, which I think is really cool. And the current number is 3,862. But that is how many we've actually found, and we're only looking, we can't study the entire sky all at once. Like, it takes time. So we've studied one region really, really, really closely, and that's helped find so many planets. And now we think that every region of the sky in our galaxy like that should have the same number. So if you just sort of, you can extrapolate, which means you can sort of use that to say that it would be the same for other stars all across our galaxy. We think every star roughly would have a planet. And there's 100 billion stars in the galaxy, so that would be 100 billion planets.
That's cool. What will humans discover next in space?
So there's a lot of things that we could discover next, because we have so many different ways of studying space, and we have so many different projects going on all the time, actively trying to discover something new. So does anybody know what planet we just landed a rover on last month?
Mars.
Right, Mars. So there's a mission on Mars right now, and it's not a rover. It's actually just a lander. It doesn't have wheels. It's not going to drive anywhere, but it's going to stay put, and it's going to send a sensor as deep down as it can in the Mars crust to try and study Mars quakes. Like, we have earthquakes on Earth. Mars sometimes still has quakes. And so we want to study those, and that'll tell us more about what's inside Mars and how that's changing. So that might discover some new stuff about Mars, which would be really cool. And we have a new satellite telescope that's studying exoplanets. We also have a satellite at Jupiter right now that's studying Jupiter, and is sending back the most amazing pictures of the clouds, of the storms on Jupiter. And then on this New Year's Eve, we have a satellite spacecraft that is going past an object that we call, it's in the Kuiper Belt. Does anyone know what the Kuiper Belt is?
No.
Probably not. You know what the asteroid belt is, right?
Yeah.
So the Kuiper Belt is like another asteroid belt that is bigger, and the objects are icier, and it's past Pluto. So this spacecraft on New Year's Eve already went to Pluto, and then it kept going. And now it's going to fly by an object in the Kuiper Belt on New Year's Eve. And so it's going to do like a really quick photo shoot. And then we're going to get all of those images, and that's going to tell us a lot more about objects that far out in our solar system. So we're basically discovering new things almost, like, constantly.
Is space dangerous?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yes. There's parts of it that are dangerous because, you know, humans, we can't live in space without bringing all of our life support with us, right? We have to bring our air to breathe and our food and sort of some sort of shelter because there's radiation and because space has no oxygen. But there's other things, like I mentioned, asteroids are kind of dangerous in the sense that if they're on a trajectory that might crash into Earth or crash into one of our satellites or our space station. So that's a problem. So yeah, it's dangerous to humans that are unprotected. That's what I would say.
How deep have we gone into space?
So do you mean humans or things that humans have made?
Humans and things that humans have made.
Yeah, good question then. Because humans, we've only gone as far as the moon. And that was back in the 1960s and 70s. So we haven't actually gone back. Now humans are just in orbit around the Earth. But we do have spacecraft that have gone farther. And so I mentioned that the New Horizons spacecraft that went to Pluto, it's already way past Pluto. But there are two other spacecraft that are way, way, way past Pluto. And they were launched in the late 1970s. And they're called the Voyager spacecraft. Have any of you guys heard of them?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so there's Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. And they went off in different directions. They sort of studied, they went and flew by multiple planets and sent back really amazing pictures for the first time, and then they kept going. And so even though they can't really do any more, we can't really give them new missions, or we can't change their path anymore, they are still sending back data. And so they sent back data that told us that they left the area that our sun is like dominant in, because they noticed that the particles that they were detecting were more from a whole bunch of other stars, like a mix of the galaxy, versus just our sun. So they are 11 and 13 billion miles away right now, which means that for Voyager 1, which is the farthest, you know how fast light travels, right? They're so far away that if we sent a signal to Voyager 1, it doesn't get there for over 20 hours. So they're like a whole day away, even if you're traveling as fast as light.
Why are some planets really big and some really small?
That is a really good question. And I think that it all depends really on how planets form in the first place. Because essentially, they form at the same time that a new star forms. So there's a big cloud of gas and dust, and it starts to cool and collapse. And depending on how much of the dust there is in there and the gas that doesn't form the star will then turn into the planets around it. But then it's kind of like a race, or it's kind of like if you were at dinner and with a bunch of your relatives or your friends, and there's only a certain amount of like mashed potatoes, and you all want the mashed potatoes, right? So whoever gets the mashed potatoes first is going to get the most. So the same with the planets. The first one that starts to grow then has more gravity to start attracting more pieces of dust and gas. And then it just gets faster and faster and faster. So in our solar system, Jupiter formed first. And it, like, got all of the stuff. Jupiter and Saturn pretty much dominated. But then it also depends on where they are with respect to the sun, because Jupiter couldn't exist close to the sun because it would be too hot and all of that gas would burn off, which is why all of the planets that are closest to the sun have really small atmospheres. We don't have much gas because the sun's energy is so strong that it would burn it off. So there's so many different variables that go into play And this is really an active area that scientists right now are trying to study. So all of those other planets that we're finding, helping us understand then why some planets are big and why some are small and why some are close in and why some are far away and all of that.
Do planets do different things?
So I wanted you to elaborate on that question. I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Like, do they...
Do they change over time?
Oh, sorry, that was a couple people speaking at once.
Do they change over time?
Oh, yes, that's a great question. They do. So Earth has changed over time because when all of the planets first formed, especially those inner ones I mentioned, all of the rocky ones, so Mercury and Venus and Earth and Mars, when they very, very, very first formed from all of those rocks of gas and dust collecting, they were super hot. So they were almost like they were all molten rock. So it started as molten rock, and then it had to cool. And then as it cooled, then anything that was molecules that had hydrogen and oxygen were allowed to cool and then form water. Because when it was too hot, the water would have been steam or evaporated. So it had to cool, and then we got water, and then the water sort of was enabled life to form. And so planet Earth has changed so much over the course of its lifetime because the continents used to be in different places, so they move around. We used to have ice ages, and we'll have more again. So sometimes there's a lot of ice, and then sometimes it goes away. And we think that that happened with many of the other planets too. So we think that that happened a little bit with Mars, but way before it happened with Earth. So that's why Mars is so interesting. And then, you know, have you guys heard of the Great Red Spot on Jupiter?
Yes.
Right, so it's a giant storm, and it was first discovered by Galileo over 500 years ago now. But when he first observed it, it was the size of, you could fit three Earths inside it. That's how big it was. But now, it's actually only as big as 1.5 Earths. So even just in the last couple hundred years, things on Jupiter have changed massively. So the planets definitely change. They just change on timescales that are really long compared to our lives. So we wouldn't necessarily see a planet go through drastic change in just your life, but maybe in 100 years, 200 years, you can start seeing some changes. Unless there's a giant, you know, impact, which did happen with Jupiter. When I was in high school, there was a comet that crashed into Jupiter. And that was really cool because you could see it in the cloud layers. But that was a rare event.
Can we explore space in different ways?
Yes, absolutely, in so many different ways, right? So we can send humans to places, and maybe we might send humans to Mars in your lifetime, but we can also send robots in the sense of that lander that just went to Mars and all the other landers that went to Mars before. There's a lot of robots on the surface of Mars right now. And otherwise, we can send spacecraft that will orbit other planets, like Jupiter, and there was one at Saturn recently, and they study the planet, and then they can send us data back. But then people like me, so I mainly use telescopes to study space. So don't leave Earth at all, or sometimes you send a telescope into Earth orbit, but you're stuck here and you just use the light to tell you about the object that you're looking at. You guys have gone to the dentist, right? And you get x-rays of your teeth? Mm-hmm. Or if you break an arm, you get an x-ray?
Yeah.
So there's also things in space that give off x-rays. Astronomers actually make telescopes that only see an x-ray. And then we make telescopes that only see in something like infrared. So that would be like a telescope that only had like night vision. So it looks and it sees heat signals. So we have telescopes that see all different types of light, not just what you and I see with our eyes. And so, like, there's so many different ways that we can explore space or that we can study it.
Do you think there are other living things like humans in the universe?
Okay, that one I definitely want to get your guys' opinion on first. What do you think?
Yeah, because they recently found water on Mars. So I think there's a chance that there could be other things like humans in the universe.
Absolutely, I completely agree. So big thing to remember is that we think currently that the universe is pretty much infinite, which means it's ginormous. And I mentioned that we think in the Milky Way there's 100 billion stars, and we think that there's at least as many planets. So if you think about the chances that there's water on one of those planets, or that there's water that has life in it, like ocean life, or then plant life, or life on land, the chances of that, like just mathematically, mean that there really should be something close to humans or other types of life in the universe, for sure. But the biggest problem is because space is so big, we might never actually be able to interact with them. So we might be able to see signs that they exist, but remember, I didn't say this before, but when we start looking out in space, we're actually looking back in time. Because I'd mentioned that light travels really fast, but space is so big. So when you look at the sun, which you should never look at it directly, but if you look at the sun any day, you're seeing the sun as it was 8 minutes ago, because it took that light 8 minutes to get from the sun to your eyes. So that's even more pronounced when we look at stars across the galaxy. You're seeing them hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of years in the past. So say we figure out that there's life around a star that's 1,000 light years away, we have no idea that life is still there today, because that was 1,000 years ago. But all of the math says that there's got to be life somewhere else, for sure.
Thank you, Summer. Thank you so much to our very special guest, Summer Ash. Please make sure you turn into the chat with Mrs. Burns' third grade next week and subscribe to our podcast in Apple Podcasts.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys. Thanks for having me.